Welcome to the first What in the Life Sciences podcast. My name is Ron Linder, and I'm the host of this podcast. I work for SDI, that's Scottish Development International, actually in the capital of Switzerland, in Bern. And what do I do here? Why am I specifically based in Switzerland? Well, it's my task to connect the Scottish life science and digital health companies to Swiss organizations. I've been working in the industry, life science industry, that is, for around about 7 years, but I'm from the business side, not from the scientific side, which most certainly doesn't help. But I did find out that the longer you work in this industry, you tend to find that in certain areas, you really, it just gets very complex, doesn't it? You sometimes really, really have to deep dive to actually talk to experts to understand what exactly this niche field is all about. This is what this podcast is actually all about, then, to explain some of the terminology that you will encounter in the industry. The topic of today's podcast will be quantitative digital pathology. And to break up the Latin a bit, quantitative on a very simple basis is all about numbers. Digital, don't think it needs explanation. And pathology is literally the study of disease. And to actually bring us the topic a little bit closer, I have with me Mr. John Waller. He's the CEO of Oracle Bio, which is a company that provides services around quantitative digital pathology. So let me hand over to John. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. Yes, as you say, my name is John Waller. I'm the Chief Operating Officer at Oracle Bio, which is a contract research organization, and we specialize in doing quantitative digital pathology. I'm a researcher by profession. I've worked in a number of pharmaceutical companies as a lead optimization biologist.
So tell me then, what exactly is quantitative digital pathology?
Well, it's a number of terms that we use in this field, and it's probably worth just clarifying those. We use pathology, digital pathology, and quantitative digital pathology. Now, pathology, as probably most people know, is it involves traditionally pathologists reviewing histology slides under a microscope. The field of digital pathology involves digitizing those slides using digital scanners to produce really high-definition images, the types of which you can then zoom in and out of on a computer screen to see the cellular level and even the subcellular compartments on a screen. The beauty of digital pathology is that pathologists can then easily view the images across the web. It allows them to share the images with colleagues in any locations. But specifically, quantitative digital pathology, that's where we specialize. That involves using image analysis software to analyze the features and the components of an image to extract quantitative data, such as, for example, the number of cells per millimeter squared of tissue or the amount of a biomarker in a particular tissue. Now, the process of doing image analysis is quite involved, and it involves developing algorithms to train the software to detect the sample, to then classify the sample and then segment the tissue. For example, segmenting it into, say, tumor and stroma in oncology tissue. And then what we do is detect and then quantify the parameter of interest, such as the number of immune cells in a tissue. Mm-hmm. And it's all about extracting quantitative data from the sample via using digital pathology.
And to whom is that useful? As in, who would actually be your main users, per se?
Well, pathologists are really excellent at diagnosing samples quickly based on their training and expertise. They really can't be beaten in that sense. However, what a pathologist finds more difficult to do is accurately count large numbers of cells or parameters. So whereas software, on the other hand, is particularly good at counting large numbers of cells. So for example, it's not uncommon in our line of work to count 100,000 to a million cells on a sample. It can also do it repeatedly with the same accuracy. So it will analyze a sample on a Monday, you'll get the same data if you analyze it again on a Friday, whereas the same couldn't necessarily be said for those large numbers for a pathologist. But furthermore, the quantitative digital pathology can extract data that would almost be impossible for a pathologist to calculate on a large scale. For example, if you're measuring things like the nearest neighbor analysis within tumor, so where, in terms of the tumor microenvironment, where cells are located and their proximity to one another. So for example, when we're looking at T cells and tumor, which are very important in immuno-oncology, that's where digital pathology really comes into its own. So really it's used by anybody who wishes to obtain accurate quantification of a particular parameter. And in terms of drug discovery, it's used right across the board. It's actually used from target expression studies, where you want to measure the biomarker in some samples, through to preclinical biomarker work, through to clinical studies, increasingly used in clinical work, actually, to quantify exploratory biomarkers. And it's also used by pathologists to support them with their diagnostic work in terms of cancer research.
Interesting. I imagine, though, that the images that you are making end up being quite complex in a sense, no?
Yeah. Yes, they're very complex and often quite large. They can be gigabytes in size, really huge things, but they're really actually fascinating and beautiful in some respects, almost like works of art, actually, especially when you look at some of the multiplex images. Multiplex being, that's where a tissue section has been stained with many markers. So, for example, you can multiplex these days with 8, 12 or more markers. And we can, when we look at the image, we zoom in on it, we can see the tissue structure, we can see the individual cells, you know, both the good and the bad. You know, we can see the tumor and the normal tissue. And it's actually lit up in front of us. It's like a canvas of color. It's really, like I say, it's like a work of art. But our job is to turn those images into information. And the images have got, if you imagine there's a million cells on a tissue, there's a lot of information in there.
Yes.
In terms of different types of cells that we want to quantify. And like the file size can be big. You know, they can, as I said, they can be 50 gigabytes. So we have to have advanced IT infrastructure to be able to handle that, to be able to move the images and view them, and also need advanced software packages to analyze it. And we also need an expert, obviously, to run those software packages. So it's just like standard histology section. It requires a trained pathologist to identify specific tissue components.
And you talk a lot about, of course, the different types of tumor and cancer cells. So is that the main usage for it so far?
Well, yeah, well, actually, quantitative image analysis is actually used across a wide range of therapeutic areas. It's really any situation where tissue samples are taken and parameters then need to be quantified. So, for example, it's used in fibrosis research, NASH and IPF work. It's also used in diabetes and skin studies. It's really fairly generalized in terms of its application across different tissue types and diseases. However, it, as you've probably alluded to there, it's fair to say that the main application is in oncology, and more specifically, you'd think, I'd say, in immuno-oncology, where it's important to quantify immune cells and phenotype those cells as well. So really, immuno-oncology has really helped to drive the application of digital quantitative pathology in the scientific environment.
It's probably also because the pharmaceutical industry has been focusing so much on oncology and cancer in the last couple of years, well, with exception of this year where everything is COVID.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, immuno-oncology has been a huge business and it has helped to drive the digital pathology revolution, I think.
If you talk about a digital revolution in a sense, because we see that with so many technologies in the world right now, you know, how has your field evolved over the last couple of years? What has changed?
Well, I'd definitely say that there's been a sort of huge change in the field. And I think we're on a journey. And I think that I still think we're not end. That journey's not finished. I think in terms of pathology, we've seen a shift from standard pathology with microscopes towards digitization. It's quite difficult to accurately represent a tissue section on a screen. It really isn't trivial because we have a glass slide. To then generate that into an image, there are a whole number of different parameters involved. For example, the quality of the scanning camera is one thing, how we stitch together the different parts of that image together to make a full whole image, or actually the quality of the monitor that a scientist might use to look at the image and not to maintain the resolutions, etc. There's a whole lot of things that go into that. And the whole point is to make sure that the pathologist sees exactly what they would normally see down a microscope, to make sure that's represented on the monitor. Arguably, it's easier to store digital images than slides, and it's certainly more convenient to look at them on a screen than it is to, say, look down a microscope. And in terms of changes as well, we've got, you know, there's been a whole revolution in terms of the image analysis platforms that are out there, the software that's available, and the ability to use computer vision software, the whole algorithm development thing has developed considerably, all with the aim of to aid the identification of structures and cells and biomarkers. It's really fascinating time for this discipline. I think in parallel with the changes in the digital pathology, there's been also changes in terms of new histology techniques as well, which are very important, such as I already mentioned, multiplexing. And that really does require advanced image analysis techniques to extract the data. So every time you add a new marker onto a multiplex, the amount of data that you get multiplies with every new marker you add. And this is obviously the reason for the development of multiplexing, is it's followed the need for more complex questions to be asked about the tumor microenvironment in oncology. I guess one thing that I also should mention in terms of changes is the advent of deep learning. We see a lot of this in the press in terms of the application of artificial intelligence and deep learning in terms of pathology. And I think that really opens up the way for digital image analysis to reach the next level, including potentially automated diagnosis of samples one day to aid a pathologist.
I was going to say that's probably the ultimate kind of dream, isn't it? You just upload a slide, the software then tells you, hey, by the way, your diagnosis, you need to be aware of these 5-6 different spots here that could mean X, Y, and Z. And that's happening within a couple of minutes, basically, right? But I take it we're not there yet just now.
No, not yet. But I do think it's only around the corner. I've heard it said that it would take 50,000 separate algorithms to replace a pathologist. There's something about the cognitive ability of a human to be able to pick out parameters in a tissue immediately that sometimes it can take quite a while for a image analysis software to be able to do. That said, deep learning by its nature learns. The more samples you give it, the better it becomes at learning. And there have been things in the press that have been probably widely advertised where the press like to compare how a pathologist performs with deep learning algorithms. And there are things in the press that say, you know, a deep learning algorithm with a very specific task can sometimes perform as well as a pathologist, and in some cases perform better. So I do think it's the way forward in terms of, it's the thing to look at in the future.
But with any kind of development, there's always, I tend to find that whenever we have something new coming up, a new solution to existing problems, along with that comes some, shall we say, sometimes foreseen and unforeseen challenges that come alongside with it. So what would be in quantitative digital pathology, what would be the main challenges you see right now or in the next few years?
Well, I'd say there are quite a few, actually. I think probably the first one I'd pick out would be the biology question. And what I mean by that is about focusing on the exact questions you're asking of the biology, especially, again, in the case of multiplexing, where there's a host of information to be extracted. And as scientists, we like to collect data. It's part of our nature. But being clear about what scientific questions we're asking then allows us, as an image analysis to extract the information in the most efficient and accurate way. Now, using advanced image analysis programs, it almost requires a programming mindset along with the knowledge of biology. We are on that interface between programming and biology. We create computer algorithms within the software to extract the data. But how those algorithms are constructed, the order in which they're put together, and their output can be very dependent on what's been asked. So really knowing the biology, the question, as well as understanding the analysis, how that should be configured, really helps us and our clients to deliver the most efficient and elegant work packages really for us. So that's definitely one challenge. From a more pragmatic perspective, the field is rapidly evolving, and there are challenges keeping up the developments, such as the developments in the software, IT, and also the regulatory aspects. With so much innovation in the field, which there is a lot of, image analysis software is constantly evolving, with such as the multiplex techniques and also the deep learning that I've mentioned, and also changes in the viewing platforms that people use. There are a whole host of companies out there that produce viewing platforms for digital pathology, and keeping up with that is a constant challenge. I've mentioned IT again previously as well. These images are huge, or can be, and it really is a challenge about getting these larger images, moving them around, viewing them, analyzing them. Even opening up a 50 gigabit image can be troublesome. And I think also probably standardization is really key as well. That's a real challenge, keeping everything standardized. But really that only starts at the staining side of things. So standardizing the staining of the tissues, or the histology is standardized. The stainings should be standardized through to the digital scanning. And then the nuances of the analysis can all play a part in determining the accuracy of the data that you generate. So I would say there are plenty of challenges along the way, and we're dealing with them on a day-to-day basis and trying to keep up with developments, keep up with the IT, keep up with the questions that are being asked by the biologists, and making sure that we can extract the data that they need.
I feel like this is an ongoing challenge in pharma and medicine, isn't it? That almost the input, the variance that you have in the inputs that are coming into the software, as you mentioned, the camera, the slides, the staining itself is so variant. It's almost, that's probably one of the main challenges, probably the hardest to control in a sense, no?
The staining is definitely, especially when you have, say, for example, batches of images coming from clinical studies, where you might say not all of the samples are collected at the same time. There may be a temporal aspect to it in terms of when the samples are collected. So making sure that the staining that's carried out with the first batch 12 months beforehand is the same as the staining 12 months later is critical. And without that consistency and standardization of the staining and the way in which the tissues are taken and fixed and stained and then digitized to perform an image, that's all critical. Without that, we need all that standardized so that to be able to reduce the heterogeneity and the variance that we would see in the data that we generate.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned beforehand viewing platforms. I'm not familiar with that term. What is that?
A viewing platform is effectively a way of, it's a repository of images which then uses a software to be then be able to, so to allow a number of individuals to share images. So for example, there can be cloud-based software packages or viewing platforms where the images are uploaded into a server, and then people can then log on to a particular software and then with their credentials access a particular folder which contains those images and then be able to view the images and zoom in and out of them and look at them. It's often quite useful for pathologists who want to say, let's say you have a pathologist who is an expert in a certain discipline who's in, say, another country, and they need to rapidly look at or need to be consulted about a sample in another country. You can then digitize the image, upload it to the web, provide the pathologist with access who can then look at it and then make a diagnosis on it. And they can actually even then go in and annotate those images, so draw lines around them and write notes on them to say, here's tumor, this looks like an interesting section, this is an interesting piece of the tissue. So it's really a viewing platform.
You'd imagine that this would almost be standard nowadays. The simple reason being that with COVID, right, and the social distancing aspect that brings with it, and often enough, it's more and more unusual, I guess, that people are even working on the same IT infrastructure, right? They work in different organizations, they need to share that data, especially when you have the social distance. I might imagine that's almost to be standard now, that people do use viewing platforms to actually access all these photos and slides now.
Yeah, yes, they do, largely. Although it does come, as you know, referring back to the challenges, it can be a trouble where, say, for example, a hospital's generating, I don't know, 500,000 slides per year. To be able to digitize all those images can be challenging. You need a lot of scanners and a lot of people to be able to do that. And also the sort of IT aspects about it in terms of where all these images hosted, you know, who's going to pay for that. That can be a consideration. Also, there are other components to do with digitizing images. A pathologist, when you get into the detail, a pathologist will quite often like to use a really fine focus on a microscope to zoom through the layers of a tissue. Mm-hmm. To be able to say, especially in cytology images, as I understand it, to be able to fine tune, just look through the cell, look through the tissue, and then be able to make the diagnosis accurately. You don't necessarily get that with the digital pathology platforms, where you're taking a single layer, an image that's taken through a single focal point. So although pathologists are moving more and more to using digital platforms, there are still instances and still occasions when they still prefer to use a microscope to look for some really sort of in-depth analysis of a tissue, to look at, say, like I say, the we call it the Z-plane through the tissue, or for example, using an oil immersion lens to go to a really high magnification.
Absolutely. Just because it does offer sort of benefit that's not yet technologically 100% addressed, right?
But equally, no, and I wouldn't like to pretend that digital pathology has all the answers. I think it's just, I think the key point to digital pathology, it's about combining the expertise of a pathologist with the accurate quantification using digital pathology software. And it's the sweet spot in between those two, the combination of the two, human knowledge with the absolute objective quantification in certain instances can be invaluable. And I think that's where we like to reside as a company. We have pathology oversight for what we do in terms of pathologists, clinical pathologists who work for Oracle Bio, who help to guide the scientists who are doing the analysis, and they'll be able to tell us, yes, this is where we need to do the analysis, and this is normal tissue, and be able to guide us through there. So yeah, definitely the interface between image analysis and pathology is the key.
Mm. But I take your point, the first point, as well as the IT infrastructure in many of the healthcare settings isn't, just because of the amount of working hours you'd need for certain aspects, is still not where we'd like it to be.
No, but I do think it's growing. There are certainly, you know, the local hospitals where I am in Glasgow, they're definitely implementing digital pathology techniques and converting a lot of their, or a proportion of their standard histology slides to digital means by scanning everything that comes through.
Wonderful. Good. So just as a bit of a summary, where do you think the journey is going? Where do you think in the next couple of years we're going to be, ideally, right? Because you mentioned, of course, machine learning and AI effectively, as you know, with all the massive amount of data we're generating, that will help us, right? The multiplex aspect will help us. The regulatory aspect is probably going to, or will have to eventually change, even though I think that's always lagging a little bit.
Yes. I'd say that, you've picked on three good points there, the deep learning, the multiplex and the regulatory. I think if I take those in turn, undoubtedly the deep learning AI side of things will be playing an increasing role in the future. I have no doubts about that. I really do think we've only just started on that journey. And I think over time we'll see deep learning algorithms and processes beginning to take over some of the routine tasks carried out by pathologists. One of the interesting ones is, for an example, would be triaging samples. So rather using deep learning to diagnose a sample, but instead using it to quickly remove the obvious healthy samples, which then allows a pathologist to focus on the contentious sections. So basically the image analysis and deep learning will be used to say, these are all normal. However, this 10% of the samples are not, and then alert the pathologist to look at them. I think that's probably likely to be one of the routes initially. I think also the multiplexing technologies, they'll definitely be adopted more frequently. The ability to quantify multiple markers on one tissue sample, it not only maximizes the data that can be extracted from these really precious samples in some cases, oncology samples, but it also helps to interrogate the biology to a higher level. And so, for example, phenotyping immune cells and determining their spatial interaction, definitely multiplexing definitely allows you to extract more data, more quality data. And I definitely think that's likely to be the way forward. Yeah, and you mentioned the regulatory side of things. I agree. I do think we will start to see quantitative digital pathology approaches clearing some of the regulatory hurdles as a technique before, as it becomes more widely used in clinical trials, including potentially in regulatory submission packages. That's something we have an eye on in terms of Oracle Bio. That's one of the reasons why Oracle Bio has been working hard to achieve good clinical practice compliance, so that we can spearhead this work in the regulatory field. We do feel it's only a matter of time before the FDA and such like start to recognize the use of various algorithms, image analysis algorithms, in terms of regulatory work, and saying we could form part of a regulatory package. We want to be there at the beginning of that. We've put in place a platform within the company so that we can do clinical image analysis to a certain standard to allow us to then be able to contribute to the field by when it comes to regulatory submission of new drugs.
And what's the situation right now at this moment in time? Will, for example, the FDA or the EMA accept digital pathology data per se for the various applications?
I think generally speaking, and it's a moving environment, and there are probably people more expert in this to answer this question, but currently the FDA prefer a pathologist readout.
So of course,
they'll default to a pathology readout where it's more of a regulatory endpoint, and they're more wary of using digital pathology. There are certain hurdles that have been got over. So for example, the use of for certain scanning equipment to make sure that the scans represent what's on the images. And I think there've been some concordance studies to show that actually, yes, the scanned image that you see does reflect what's in the tissue. Mm-hmm. But the next step, I think, is actually to the implementation and the acceptance of an algorithm-based detection of a parameter into the data. I think that's the next stage, and we're keeping a close eye on that, and we're going to be fast followers when it comes to that environment.
Marvelous. John, and just because I'm really curious, how did you end up in this field? How did you end up working in that field in the first place, if I may ask?
Well, it's been a bit of a journey. Oracle Bio was founded by myself and my colleague, Dr. Locke and Sherry. We both worked in the drug industry for quite a number of years, as I said at the beginning, in terms of we both worked in preclinical drug discovery. And we, during our time in the pharmaceutical industry, we came to recognize the importance of biomarkers in drug discovery and how they were being used to determine whether or not a particular drug was working via the mechanism it should be working through, whether or not it's actually working or not at the right, whether it was in the patients at the right level to be able to evoke a response. So we were very fixated on the use of biomarkers. And when we left the pharmaceutical industry, we decided to set up Oracle Bio with a focus on quantifying biomarkers. And one of the key areas that we thought would be a good place to set up a company would be in digital pathology, to be able to, this quantification of the cells, the quantification of the biomarkers in tissues, we felt was a key thing. We also saw it as a growth area. And although we didn't foresee at that time immuno-oncology arriving, we were fortunate enough that it did. And there was then for a demand for the types of services that we were offering. So arguably there was a bit of luck and a little bit of judgment in terms of the evolving situation with Oracle Bio.
So those are the best combinations, I'll say, from experience. Marvelous. John, thank you very much for this very brief and yet very insightful introduction to quantitative digital pathology. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome.